Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 6 and 7. Parvato Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Parvato Narado Domyo Bhagavan Bhagarayana. Vihadashro Paradvaja Sashisho Renukasita Vishishta Indra Pramadas Sitogritas Madosita Kakshivan Gatamo Trishcha Koshikota Sudarshana. All the sages like Parvat Muni, Narada, Domya, Vyasa, the incarnation of God, Vihadashva, Bharadvaja, and Parashuram, and disciples Vishishta, Indra Pramada, Trita, Grit Samad, Ashita, Kakshivan, Gotama, Atri, Koshik, and Sudarshana were present. Omigana Timurandasya, Yananjana Shalakaya, Naksul Mavatam Yena, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam, Snapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Sapadantikam, Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Srivasade Ghor Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In these different verses, there's a list of various great scholars and sadhus and rishis and saints that came to see Grandfather Bhishma at the moment of his death. That actually, at the moment of death, when great sadhus appear, it's considered almost like an incarnation of Krishna. It's considered Krishna actually manifesting his mercy before you. But in terms of my presentation in my class, they're very, very long purports with elaborate descriptions of each person. So I can recommend you could read that yourself. Even though Papa's purports are so dynamic and so powerful, it's always difficult to just read something. If you read it yourself, then you're able to interact with the text and ask yourself questions and stop and slow down, etc. When someone reads to you long philosophical texts, it tends to hard to concentrate. And I don't feel comfortable doing that in this type of medium, especially over the phone. So I'm just going to read through those verses and then explain what's happening. Text 8. Anyecha muniyo brahmam Marata Diomala Shisha Upeta Ajugmu Kasyapan Girasadaya and many others like Sukadeva Goswami and other purified souls. Kashyapa, Angira Ras, and others, all accompanied by their respective disciples, arrived there. Purport, again, very long. Okay, so we know the general story, and I always try to put it in a particular context. It's about the history of the Bhagavatam and the answer to the questions that the sages of Namasharanya asked Sita Goswami about that. And basically, they were interested to know about the personalities who were involved in the, especially the first three, the secession from Narada Vyas from Vyas to Sukadev to Maharaja Prakrit. Because the preceptors that carried on the line from Narada Muni to Vyas were such special personalities. And now, Sita Goswami is answering those questions, and he's already described Vyas and then Sukadev, and he's describing Maharaja Prakrit. And the question they asked about Maharaja Prakrit, what was so interesting about him, that he was exalted in his birth, his life, and his death. And that's kind of very rare to get all three. So he's going to tell about his birth, his life, and his death. But because of his intimate association with Krishna, telling about right now his birth, he was telling about his birth, it introduces Krishna into the Bhagavatam. So you not only get this history of the Bhagavatam by the particular personalities, but you get a history, you get the subject of the Bhagavatam is and Krishna. And Krishna means his relationship with his devotees, Ratsa Vaisaha. The ultimate reality is relationship. It's love, and love is a relationship. In one sense, that may be why metaphysical knowledge is called sambandhagyan, knowledge of relationship. And so we see that because Krishna protects Maharaja Prakrit, and then as he's leaving, after the battle of Kurukshetra, we see the feelings of the devotees for him in the mood of separation as he's about to leave. And we see the feelings of the devotees as he's about to enter Dwarka. So we just kind of, I don't know, Krishna is so attracted that once he appears to protect Maharaja Prakrit in the womb, we're just focused on his beauty and his relationship with his devotees. And here in this, so the war ends, and we get a little description of the war ends. And part of that description is Yudhisthira's despondency. We get Yudhisthira's despondency for his responsibility, his participation in the war to enthrone him, which killed so many people. That, as we remember the story, Krishna is so focused on glorifying his devotee that rather than answer Maharaja Prakrit's question, he doesn't answer the question, because she wants to glorify Bhishma Dev, who's sitting on the battlefield in a battle on a bed of arrows, and he wants to glorify his devotee. So it's very interesting that we see the mind of God. We see the mind of God, that he's a person. And a person just doesn't think about himself. He also thinks about others. And that's what relationship means. That's the foundation of bhakti. Bhakti is devotion and it's exchange, and people think about others. So Krishna is thinking about his devotee, and it's such a wonderful theological concept of God, that he's personal and that he has love. The guiding principle that we see here is not an illusion. It's just not perfected here, sometimes even perverted, but it's not an illusion. It's the foundation of the universe is love. Love makes the world go round. It's true. And exists in the Supreme. So we have to hear about true love to transcend false conceptions of relationships. So here's Krishna's love to his devotee. And as a devotee, we have to depend on God so we can feel his love. Dependence invokes love. It's just a psychological phenomenon that your need will attract kindness from others. Your need will attract kindness from others. It's just a psychological fact. So Krishna responds to those devotees who acknowledge their need. And the greatest need is love. Therefore, we go for shelter, sharanagati. We surrender to God means we take shelter of love. And love means we serve. The ultimate shelter is service. And service begins on, service always has an element of surrender to relinquish control to another. You can do that in love. You can see if you have an old grandmother and she's very saintly and in her last days you're at her side, then you relinquish out of love control, meaning her desires guide your life. She knows to go to the bathroom. She needs something. She needs someone to hold her hand. You live in that other world. So anyway, we see what happens here is Yudhisthira now is heading to see his grandfather because Krishna is thinking about his devotee and what their needs are. He reciprocates. I love that simple statement. I think it's in the CC in one purport. Prabhupada just beautifully just says Krishna is responsive. And so we see the setting now where Bhishma Dev will be glorified, that all these spiritual all-stars of the world congregate the Shishta and Pramada and Sukadev and Parasaram, the great personalities, which shows who is Bhishma. And all the great personalities of the world are now congregating. It's just like the funeral of a great state leader. It's only, you know, artificial, but then everyone comes, and that shows, oh, how important all the presidents come. But in this culture, more important than the kings are the sadhus. They are the gurus of society. They are the gurus of the kings. Tantametan Mahabhagam Upalabhya Vasutama Pujayam Ashadharmogya Deshakala Vivagavit. Bhishmadev, who is the best amongst the eight bosses, received and welcomed all great and powerful rishis who were assembled there. For he knew perfectly all the religious principles according to time and place. So religious principles, what's religious principles? Dharma gya. Desha Kala. He knows how to adjust them according to time, place, and circumstance. There's principles, and then there's application of the principle according to the particular circumstance, which means you have to know the meaning of the principle. One of the impediments to bhakti is niyama agraha, too much affection or too little affection for the rules. When you have too much affection for the rules, you apply them impractically. I'll just give you a personal example. Yeah, I was fixed on the order of the spiritual master. I had a very fixed type of consciousness. And when I first came to Vrindavan, Prabhupada said the thing he wanted most is for the young students to go to the Jamuna every morning by kirtan after Mangal Arati. So I got there in the summer, and I did it. And I was the staunchest person. Every morning we did Harinam. I'm just thinking the brilliance of Prabhupada. He knew that these children were mostly from broken homes, and it was such a holy place. But just the fact of kirtan and bath in the Jamuna, and the Jamuna used to flow swiftly right by the Prikram path. And then we come back by class. But I kept on going, and it started to be the winter, dark and cold, you know, because that was the order of the spiritual master. But, you know, it started to get very, very cold. And then I got a message that came from Prabhupada. At least someone said it came from Prabhupada, that, you know, don't inconvenience them. So we shifted it to the afternoon. So the principle was that it would be very powerful for them to go to the Jamuna and to do kirtan. And, you know, my nature was unrelenting. It was every day, regardless. You know, and you don't look at any other circumstances at a particular time. So when one knows Dharma deeply, then he knows the principle and can make the adjustment in the principle according to time, place, and circumstance. Prabhupada did that because traditionally in India, women were not pujaris because there's such high level of ritualistic purity, and women have the time of the month, and where they're unclean, and also, you know, taking care of children and all that, and that type of culture. when Prabhupada came to America. And the situation is different. So the application of the principle was different. You know. Purport, expert religionists know perfectly well how to adjust religious principle in terms of time and place. All the great acharyas or religious preachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of religious principles in terms of time and place. There are different climates and situations in different parts of the world, and if one has to discharge his duties to preach the message of the Lord, he must be expert in adjusting things in terms of time and place. So interesting, time, place, and circumstance. And I think, again, was the empowerment that Prabhupada gave to women in a particular society or situation where the climate and situation was different. And therefore, to communicate Krishna consciousness, he had to be a little bit more broad. And somehow people forget this. And of course, if you have realization, you can adjust the principle without losing it. I would say, like, what is realization? Is you understand something so deeply that you can communicate it, and it means you can repackage it. You don't lose the meaning. People don't have realization. They just keep it in the same package, or they repackage it and lose the meaning. But let's have realization. Let there be Brahmins and people who are subtle and have some understanding to know how to present things. Bhishma Dev is one of the great authorities, 12 great authorities in preaching this cult of devotional service. And therefore he could receive and welcome all the powerful sages assembled there at his deathbed from all parts of the universe. He was certainly unable at that time to welcome and to receive them physically because he was neither at home. He was neither at his home nor in a normal healthy condition. But he was quite fit by the activities of his sound mind. And therefore he could utter sweet words with hearty expressions. And all of them were well received. One can perform one's duty by physical work, by mind, and by words. And he knew how to utilize them in the proper place. Therefore, there's no difficulty for him to receive them, although physically unfit. This is a very great example. You know, the form of the reception was bowing down, getting up, but the essence was to express that people should be acknowledged, honored, and welcome. He couldn't do that. And therefore, he can offer words or he can offer glances. We forget that physical things are just vehicles for the expression of ideas and thoughts. And it's not the vehicles in themselves that's important, but it's the ideas that they express. That's why Vidura, where did he go? I think he went to the pot, he got some simple spinach, but it was done by love. And he enjoyed that more than the elaborate feast. Text 10. Krishnam Chitat Prabhavagya Asinam jagat ishvaram vadistam pujayanasa mayayo pata vigraham. Lord Sri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev, and since Bhishma Dev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. Purport, Lord's omnipotency is displayed by his simultaneously presence in every place. He's present always in his eternal abode, the Loka Vrindavan, and still he is present in everyone's heart, and even within every visible atom. When he manifests his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. The external potency or the material energy has nothing to do with his eternal form. Eternal form. All these truths were known to Bhishma Dev, who worshipped him accordingly. So he knew that when Krishna came, that although he came within the world, and although he had form within this world, that he was the supreme absolute reality. Janma karma chane divyam evam yo veti tattata taktapurnam tattajat. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattataha chatpatonam. How can I forget this verse? Wait. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattata chatpadeham punajanma naiti mamaki. One who knows his transcendental activities of his birth and the transcendental nature of his birth and activities, when he gives up the body, he doesn't come back again. So Bhishma Dev was a Mahatma. And he understood the point that the form of God is not a limit of God, but it's one of his transcendental attributes, which with, if you take away, God is limited. That's the story of Brahma Vimohan Lila. Lord Brahma thought, oh, here's a little boy that's limiting. But no, to take away that aspect of God, that's to deny not only an aspect of God, but the aspect of God by which you could have a loving relationship, which is the vehicle to actually understand God fully, because persons only reveal themselves in love. The revelation of a person is only within their own hands. So you can't analyze God and know God. You can't put God under a microscope and know God. You can know God when God chooses to reveal himself. That's only true about God. That's true about every single person. It's a principle of knowledge that persons are only revealed when they give themselves. And there's no other way to enter into there, no other way to understand them, except in that kind of reciprocation. Verse 9:11, let's hope it's not a disaster. Pandaputra mupasinam pasaya prema sangatam abhyaschastanu ragashraya adibhutena chakshisa. The sons of Maharaj Pandu were sitting silently nearby, overtaken with affection for their dying grandfather. Seeing this, Bhishma congratulated them with feeling. There were tears of ecstasy in his eyes. He was overwhelmed by love and affection. So the reciprocation was there. There's a relationship being described here. And the sons of Pandus were sitting nearby, Yudhisthira had come. And they were overtaken with affection for their grandfather, who was about to leave the world. And Bhishma Dev began to cry. Her quote, when Maharaj Pandu died, his sons were all small children. And naturally, they were brought up under the affection of elderly members of the royal family, specifically by Bhishma Dev. Later on, when the Pandavas were grown up, they were cheated by the cunning, Duryodhana and company, and Bhishma Dev, although he knew that the Pandavas were innocent and were unnecessarily put into trouble, could not take the side of the Pandavas for political reasons. At the last stage of his life, when Bhishma Dev saw his most exalted grandsons, headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, sitting very gently at his side, the great grandfather warrior could not check his loving tears, which were flowing automatically from his eyes. He remembered the great tribulation suffered by his most pious grandson. Certainly, he was the most satisfied man because of Yudhisthira being throne in place of Duryodhana, and thus he began to congratulate him. So when you die, you have to finish up all business. If you don't finish up all business, then you probably have to come back. You probably have to come back to settle it. And therefore, when someone dies, the wise thing to do is ask them, is there any, you know, regrets or any feelings or anything, you know. Sometimes there's an apology you have to do. Something has to come out of your heart. So you can leave without unfinished strong desires within one's heart that will carry you back to come again. So, interesting. So Krishna's making arrangement. And the grandfather has to see his grandson situated properly. And then he can go. You know, many of you know Leela Balasini. In every way, my disciple. She's not initiated by me, but she accepts me as her guru fully. And she has a very wonderful mother who's passing away, leaving her body in Vrindavan. And I went to see her mother. And Leela Balasini, she's a wonderful devotee, sometimes a little bit wild. I went to see the mother, and she's staying with her daughter. And she, looks at me and just asks me, to please, give spiritual shelter to my daughter. I said, yes, I will. And it's significant. Then she could pass. She could go peacefully. That her daughter has spiritual shelter. I just got a great note from Mahamuni, from Confucius. One thing about giving class where I have here, I'm not doing it through Skype, and I have a computer separate. Mahamuni sent a reference from Confucius, and it says, one who learns from tradition but who cannot think creatively will be confused. One who thinks creatively but does not learn from tradition is in great danger. What a beautiful quote. And it's exactly my realization in spreading Krishna consciousness. And people tend to fall on one side or the other. Everything is tradition, but they cannot think creatively. They cannot think innovatively. And the principles are not applied properly. And then some people innovate, but they don't learn enough from tradition, and they lose their blessings. So this is like such an important point. You have to think creatively. Prabhupada thought creatively. And you have to ground things in tradition. And the simple example is there from Bhishma Dev. Now Bhishma Dev's feelings, and this is a very touching verse, Ho kashtan ho nyayam yajuyam dharmanandana jivatum nahattu klishtam vipradharma chitasthaya. Vipradev said, oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustices you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations, yet you were protected by the Brahmins, God, and religion. It's so touching. A whole kashtam, a whole anyaya. What terrible injustice and what suffering you good souls did, who are Dharmanandana, the sons of religion, jivatum na hatta klishtam. By that suffering, jivatam na, you did not deserve to live, meaning the fair thing would be for you to die because your life, it would be less suffering than to live. And how unfair that God kept you alive, even though you were Dharmanandana. And this is going to be such a crucial point to understand in this story, that why do bad things happen to good people? And unless you understand that point, you'll have doubts in God. Purport, Maharaj Yudhisthira was disturbed due to the great massacre in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Dev can understand this, and therefore he spoke first of the terrible sufferings of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was put into difficulty by injustice only, and the Battle of Kurukshetra was fought just to counteract this injustice. Therefore, he should not regret the great massacre. He wanted to point out particularly that they were always protected by the Brahmanas, the Lord and religious principles, and as long as they were protected by these three important items, there was no cause of disappointment. Thus, Bhishma Dev encouraged Maharaj Yudhisthira to dissipate his despondency. As long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by the bona fide Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and strictly following religious principles, one has no cause for despondency, however trying circumstances of life. Bhishma Dev, as one of the authorities in the line, wanted to impress this point upon Pandavas. So this is the answer. If you do what's right, there'll be auspiciousness, even if there's temporarily difficulty, because the only auspiciousness in this world is an awakening of the soul to true love of God. That's the only auspiciousness in this world. The awakening of the heart to true love for God. We have a different standard of what is auspicious. We think that when the world conforms to our desires, I use this term very often, that's auspiciousness. But the world moving according to our desires doesn't ensure that our heart will flourish. And it may be a very, very mental and superficial happiness that is actually leading us to death and great suffering. Sometimes God will move the world against our desires and rapidly against our desires, helping us to look for happiness in the real place, which is within our soul. And that's what bhakti is. Bhakti is awakening the soul. And that's why we're in bhakti, because we've tasted that. We know that that's better than anything else. And when you actually taste that and your soul awakens, then these other things that people want are so pale in comparison, because it's not about love. It's not about awakening the heart. And people find that out when they're movie stars or when they're athletes and when they get everything they want, but it's not favorable for their hearts. Then they'll eventually understand that if they're lucky, maybe in a reversal of life, that it's not worth it. It's not worth covering the soul. The simple things, the simple heart is better. I know one lady who is married to a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, and somehow or other he was a very big, powerful political person. Very, very big, powerful political person. And she wanted to divorce him. And eventually she had to leave him. And she had to leave with nothing. And she wound up in a shelter in the Bronx. This is a true story where she had to sign out. And then she found the holy name of Krishna. And she found Hari Nam. And she realizes that the Hari Nam, which is available to every person, and what it does for her heart, was worth more than all the other things she had, which is unlimited money and unlimited power. Okay, I do give another class here. I gave the Bhagavatam class in the morning. I'm giving this class here. And I gave class last night. So, but I will stop for questions. Are there any questions? Or if anybody would like to say hello.
Haridol Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Chaitanya Priya. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. At least if I get one voice, I know that the line was working. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry. It was a wonderful class.
Henry, it's just, this has been so wonderful that you've been listening for so many years. We had a wonderful festival in the Bhakti Center. Somehow or other, we have to get you down here one time. It's really wonderful. Okay. And Kalachandri and Shratanjali were here too. And, okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Who's that?
Gail
is
one.
Who? I hear Gail. Who else is there?
Surit and Anand Surit. This is Surit.
Say that clearly. Who is it?
Surit and Hanan.
Oh, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Krishna.
Who else is there today?
Hare Krishna.
Nanda Dulal? Okay, Hare Krishna. We got such a core, steady group. Anybody else? Okay, I better go now. Lunchakalpa, Tarubya, Sarkapasan.